There was a soft glow to the ornately decorated dining hall. A long table was lavishly set with every kind of delicacy imaginable. Finely cut fruit from exotic parts of the world towered over rich meats and cheeses. Pastries looked more like artwork than something edible. The aroma heightened my awareness of the hunger pangs I had. I was so desperately hungry. A fallen crumb underneath the table I would have gladly taken. My eyes traveled the length of the table to the end. There he sat at the head of the table, smiling warmly, lovingly, his hand extended as he summoned me to dine with him. God has prepared a banquet for us and a feast of his presence. Yes, a feast of his presence. Joy, peace, love, rest, refreshing. Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast. This is Patty Valenzuela, the senior pastor of Ignite Movement Church in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for joining me. I hope this helps you and encourages you and helps you become all that you were created to be. Enjoy the message.
Hello, guys. So we want to welcome you back to the Patty Valenzuela podcast. So today it is a very special episode. We have Patty and we will be discussing the book, The Passionate Pursuit. It is a book that, oh man, I remember that day where you had the book signing, you know, the party when you were reading that at first chapter and you had us all crying. Yes, I looked around and people, men.
I couldn't finish it.
Yes, no, we were all crying. You know, you felt the presence of God. It was so beautiful. It just, you know, we just wanted to go home and cry, to the, you know, go get in the presence of God. You know, that's all we wanted to do. And, you know, there's this specific chapter that I would like for you to elaborate on, and it's the hunger of God, which is chapter number one, you know, and as I was reading this, you know, there's this really good example that you gave, and it talks about how, you know, when we're, you know, when we're snackers, you know, when, let's say, you know, I mean, my mom makes really good food, and I know you do too. I've tasted your food, and it's like,
thank you.
She's gonna invite me to her house again, because she cooks really good.
Make those pancakes again.
Yes, you know, your turkey, and oh my goodness, but, you know, and, but, truth to be told, you know, sometimes when we're snacking around, you know, we're with the chips, with the popcorn, with the candy, you know, when it's dinner time, you explaining your book, it's like, you know, even though the smell, everything, quite frankly, we're not no longer hungry. Yeah. Why? Because we've been snacking around. And you gave that example that that's, you know, can you explain to us how, you know, that same example, how it is compared as, you know, in our walk with God, you know, snacking around and, you know, that affecting our hunger for God.
That's very good. And I find that often, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 that he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. And so I believe that hunger for God, hunger for the things of God, has to be something that should never leave us. Just like your physical body. I mean, you didn't eat one meal and then go the rest of the year without a meal. Oh, no. We have like three or four meals a day, sometimes more, you know, plus all the other snacks. And so I believe that the body of Christ thinks that they can just get through, you know, one meal weekly. And you can't. You can't exist like that. There has to be, for us to be spiritually healthy, there has to be a continual hunger. And so I love what you said. I do mention it in my book, the snacking, because, you know, I can be making food, but if my kids have snacked, they're not going to be hungry for dinner time. And so I find that in the body of Christ, we are distracted. And so oftentimes when it comes to the things of God, we're just not hungry. Why? Because we've filled up with so many other things. You know, sometimes we can be like 2 hours on social media.
Yeah.
You know, and not that it's bad. Social media is a tool also, you know, but I think sometimes it can really become such a deterrent for the things of God. You know, we even make comparisons. We start to compare ourselves. We think that maybe somebody else has it better than we do. We look at maybe even among pastors, or, you know, oh, we see this, that, and the other, and we make comparisons, and I feel less than now. But that's, you know, that's not how God called us to live. You know, we are called to have a very strong, deep, intimate, powerful, passionate relationship with the Father. And so, you know, hunger is the key element. So, you know, we got to ask ourselves, you know, what are we hungry for? Are we hungry for the things of God? Well, not really. You know, I'm hungry for this. You're going to be hungry for the things that you eat. Like, I crave a lot of salads and tuna and, you know, fish because I eat that a lot. And so you crave those things, you know? And so I think that when you're a snacker, you're distracted. There's so many distractions right now. Our phones can become distractions. And so we have to just put first things first. And the Bible says, first seek the kingdom of God and everything else shall be given to you. And so I think that's the key. And so how do you keep your hunger for God? You know, I'd like to say it this way, Cynthia, and I started out reading it, you know, because that's my first chapter. And I'm like, here's God. Picture this, Cynthia, okay? Just picture it. You like to come and eat at my house. So picture Jesus, and he dines. He wants to dine with you. And he's set this table. And the Bible says that he's prepared a table before us. And so he's prepared this incredible table for you. And every morning he wants you to sit with him. Every morning he wants you to dine with him. He wants you to have a conversation with him. He wants you to share your heart. He wants you to eat. Well, what's at this table, Cynthia? He wants you to eat of his food. At his table, there is peace. At his table, there is love. At his table, there is joy. Everything that you need to have the nutrients necessary for your body and your spiritual walk to be healthy is at that table. And so we are a drive-through, quick type of generation. We eat standing up. I'm guilty of it sometimes because we are always busy. We are always on the go. And so we have to take a moment and just say, okay, what do I need to remove from my life? What snacks are keeping me unhealthy? What is distracting me from entering into the presence of God? You know, and then start to go, not that I omit them completely, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that you just got to, you know, fast social media. I mean, whatever it takes in your life. I mean, only you know, and everybody knows their own walk. And so whatever it is that's taking you away from that presence.
And then I know that in your book, you also talk about some of these snacks are, you know, even fear, anxiety, so worry. Good. In the book, it also talks about, you know, these worries, you know, and truth to be told, you know, like, I mean, same, I've been guilty of, you know, not always eating the right thing. I mean, which I've been disciplining myself to do so.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, eating always the wrong things will always lead to diseases, to
That's
illnesses.
So good.
To, you know, us yes. not living the life that, you know, that we were created to be because diabetes comes, you know.
Exactly.
By eating the wrong things, obviously it comes with consequences, you know. So maybe you can tell us, you know, like what happens if we continue to feast, you know, in those snacks.
You're
of
indulging
anxiety.
In fear. You're indulging in anxiety, you know, wallowing in it. And you're just so scared. And the mind
binging
is just
on.
Yeah. And then you're just thinking and thinking and thinking and your mind is just racing and you're just like, instead of getting in the word of God, instead of going, okay, wait, this is fear. You know, God doesn't live in fear. God does not. He's God of love. And so you need to go and eat and dine from the table of love. So what do you need? If there's fear in your life, you need the love of God. Mm-hmm. You need the love of God to just invade you, you know? So go and feast on that. And he's wanting to feed that to you. So it's not like, you know, I mean, we could enter it at any moment of the day. So when you eat of anxiety, when you eat constantly, what I mean by eating of anxiety or you're eating, you're meditating, you know, you're thinking, you're sitting at the table. And rather than talking to God, rather than spending that time with God, we're listening to the lies of the enemy. You know, we're dining with somebody else or you're sleeping with the enemy. You know, you're either sleeping with Jesus and having dining with him or you're sleeping with the enemy. And so the enemy can just be, you know, just telling you all kinds of things. And so stressed out. You're so stressed out. You're stressed out. You need to go dine. You need to just stop. Go spend some time with God. What does he say? What is the word? Go spend some time and read the word of God, you know?
Yeah.
So that's key.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then I was reading too, you know, where you were talking about how when we first come to God, you know, our first, you know, reaction is to go to the presence of God.
Yeah.
When we encounter, you know, situations, the first thing is to get on our knees, you know, to seek, okay, like what is God saying? And it says here, you know, that, you know, as we get distracted, you know, we right away run into, you know, okay, well, what is Josh Mo saying? You know, what is media saying? You know, we run to the anxiety, you know?
All kinds of quotes. Who's saying what? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, you know, You know, maybe you're hearing us, you know, and you say, you know what? I know that I've been snacking on, you know, kind of like what Apostle said, you know, I've been snacking on, you know, these hot Cheetos, these worries, you know, on Facebook. I've recognize, you know.
Yeah.
I want you to, you know, if that's that person is hearing us, Patty, I want you to please tell us, like, what can I do to get back to hungering God? That's like, what can I do?
That's such a good question, because our state of hunger should always exist. One, the Bible says, taste and know that the Lord is good. So once you taste of him, Psalm 34, 8, and you just taste him and you know he's good. So you got to know that. Some of you have tasted it before. It's kind of like when you've tasted something and then you're like, man, I'm craving such and such because I tasted it before and it's so good, you know? And so you have to, the good thing is that there is a solution, you know? How do you go back to that? You know, Cynthia, one of the things that in my own life, people have asked me, like, how do you stay passionate for God? How does that passion never leave you? How have you stayed so hungry for God? And I think because he's my refuge, he's the one that I run to. And so there is a solution. You've got to miss him. Number one, miss him. You know, if you're listening and you're like, man, I haven't prayed, you know, what are the things that I do? You know, we're talking about eating and everything's probably making you hungry, but you know, I want to provoke a hunger in you where you chew on the word of God. You know, you go and you get into the presence of God. One thing that I can say, and one way to get back to hunger of God, the first thing is miss him. Miss him. You got to start missing him. So I want to provoke that in people. You know, do you remember when God touched you? Do you remember the day that you know, you accepted Jesus in your heart and you just remember that day and you're like, yeah. Or do you remember that day when you had a visitation of God, an encounter with God? And you know, so you got to miss him. When you miss something, when you miss something, you begin to realize there's absence of something. And so if I'm missing him, that means I have an absence of the presence of God. So you've got to start missing the presence of God. Be reminded of the presence of God, how good it felt, how he touched you, what you felt when you went up to the front and accepted Jesus. Remember how the presence of God saturated your room, what you felt at that moment, that nobody made you feel like that, that he made you felt things that you had never felt before, that no man, no woman could ever make you feel like that. You say, oh, but I got tingles, butterflies when my boyfriend, that's awesome. But there is a touch of God that no human being can touch. There is a touch of God that when he touches you in the deepest, most profound areas that no human being can touch. He goes into the darkest of places, and the way you feel, you've got to miss that, because nobody makes you feel the way he makes you feel. Nobody can hug you the way he hugs. Nobody, I mean, the conversations that you can have with him, nobody makes you feel that way. So you've got to miss him. That's the first step, Cynthia. You've got to miss God, and then you got to pray for it. Say, God, I bring back my hunger. Provoke it in me. Then you got to remember it. Remember it. Remember it. Remember it, you know? And I love what Revelation, rather, chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, it says, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. So you got to remember it, you know? Hunger and desire for God, it's something that I think that you have to stir it up. If I stop praying, Cynthia, if I stop pursuing God, then it's not going to be stirred in me. So I think that when we get in the habit of, like, you know, just existing, you know, doing things mechanically, you know, maybe you're listening and you're like, man, I serve God, but I really haven't felt the presence of God that profound. I'm really not really hungry. And maybe you're serving God and you're not hungry for God. That is not the normal state of a believer. The normal state of a believer, we should be hungry. That's a sign that you're sick spiritually.
Yeah, and actually that's what I was going to tell you, because I was reading right now and it reminded me of point number two of, you know, besides snacking, it's being spiritually sick. And you mentioned in your book how, you know, and it's true in the natural, when we're sick, you know, you might have the, you know, the biggest, you know, turkey, you know, juicy, but it's not very appetizing
to
you,
right?
You know, because you're sick. And here you mention about unbelief, you know, and how that can also, you know, affect our hunger for God.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
When you start to doubt God, you're not hungry for him anymore. See, unbelief will say things like this, Cynthia. What for? I've already tried.
That's good.
I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore.
Or I don't feel nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I found that kind of funny. I mean, I've said it plenty of times in the past. I don't feel anything. You know, and it's like, okay, God never said, if you feel it, I will do it. If you, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like.
It's a faith. That's what faith is, right?
Exactly. Yes. And then you also talk about, you know, another thing that separates, you know, that kind of takes that hunger away. It's, you know, sin.
Yeah.
Sin, you know, sin in our lives that, you know, perhaps hidden sin, you know, or.
That's right.
I don't know. So what can you say about though that particular thing?
You know, sin is so, I think when we think of sin, we think of it as like, you're drinking and you're partying and you're, you know, and you're like, you're in the world, you know, when we think of that word. But, you know, sometimes sin is disobedience. Mm-hmm. When we're disobedient to the word of God, you know, James says it best. You know, it says, if you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, that's sin. And so anything that God is telling you to do, but you don't do, any area in your life that you know what God is telling you to do, whether it's to cut something, whether it's to, you know, move in a specific direction, whether it is to, whatever it is, you know, only you know. But if we're disobedient to the word, if we're disobedient to his commands, if we're disobedient to something that he's commanded us to do, that's going to snuff out our hunger for God. It's going to turn it off. Because it gets worse. It doesn't get better. You know, I hear people, and I don't know if you've heard of people say, like, I'm trying, you know, I'm just trying, but I just can't, you know. It's God wants you to be hungry. God wants you to be passionate for him. You just have to obey him. Start moving in that direction and start, you know, it's kind of like, you know, start doing the things that you once used to do when you first fell in love with him. And so I think sin, disobedience, it just snuffs it out. You see people and it's like they let a little disobedience in and then pretty soon it's like, okay, God, I already told you to do that. Like do it, you know, and then they don't do it and they don't do it and they don't do it. Pretty soon you're like, okay, and then you don't see them or they're just really cold or their heart has become hardened because God told them to do something and they just didn't do it. So I just want to encourage everybody, you know, whatever God's telling you to do, obey. Obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to the word of God keeps you hungry. It sustains the hunger. Faith and believing God sustains the hunger. Faith only cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You got to get in the word. You got to be eating the word of God, chewing it, regurgitate it. You know, like the cow, they've got like, I don't know how many stomachs. They chew it. They swallow it. They regurgitate it. They chew it. I think we got to read the word of God like that. Don't just like da, 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 da. No, stop. Read. What is God speaking to you? You know, what is God saying to you? So that's really key.
Yeah. And I just love what you said. You know, you said, well, if that's something that's missing, well, then just pray for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I love God because his desire is, you know, us.
Yes.
You know, that we, I think more than anything,
that's good.
He hungers more for us than we do for him.
That is so
you know?
Good.
And
yes.
Something that I loved, honestly, the day that we were at the book signing and at the book signing party, you know, that, you know, sometimes I think us as, I mean, I know I did, maybe people don't, but I know I did, you know, but, you know, sometimes I would see God the way I would see, you know, myself. Like if I didn't hunger for God, I would think he didn't hunger for me. If I wasn't craving, you know, you get
yes,
me like,
that's, where that's we, where good
we,
point.
And, but we got to understand that that's not who God is. God is not a man.
Yeah.
God is God.
Yeah.
You know, and what you said right now that when we pray, you know, when we say God, like, you know, give me that hunger.
Yeah.
You know, God is going to do it.
Yes.
Why? Because that is the will of God, you know, for us to hunger for God.
Yeah.
You know, so
he wants to give it to us. He does. I love what you said, that he's passionate about us. And I think when I see that, it's like nobody in the earth, think about that. Nobody in the earth wants to spend time with you like he does. You know, there are people out there and there's so much rejection in the world. So many people have felt rejected by loved ones, rejected by somebody, and you feel unwanted. You feel like maybe you're abandoned. Maybe you don't know your parents. Maybe you feel like, you know, you want to have this relationship with family members or with, you know, loved ones, and you just feel shunned and you feel like pushed away. Maybe somebody, you know, family members or maybe loved ones or people that you love, people that came into your life and that you loved them, but they shunned you. You know, they rejected you. They were mean to you. There is a God and a Father, and you got to know that attribute of God. There is a Father, you know, Cynthia, because when I look at your life, I know you love God like that. But think about that. There is a Father that wants to be with you. He's crying out to be with you. He's not rejecting you. He wants to spend time with you. There's nobody on the earth that wants you more than him. He is so, the Bible says that his eyes are like fire. His eyes are like fire. What do you mean his eyes are like fire? Because he's so passionate for you. So he becomes your lover.
Wow. I think it just set some people free, you know, because sometimes people might feel, well, he wants it for Susie, but he doesn't want it for
exactly.
me. He wants Saul, but he doesn't want me. Yeah. You know, so right now that just, you know, it made me like... You know, where it's like, you know what? God wants me.
He does.
Maybe the Bible says, maybe my father and my mother forsook
that's
me.
That's right.
But God, you know, accepts me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what just, you
know. The broken you.
Yes.
The messed up you.
Yes.
The you don't have it perfect you. The I really have screwed up my life so bad you. That's, he wants you. The I thought I failed. Well, you know, you failed, but he still wants you. I've been rejecting him. He still wants you. He wants you. He wants you. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe, the Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth wants you. He wants you. He's in pursuit. He just, oh my gosh, when he looks at you, he is in love with you. So think about what could we possibly need? You know, if you have the God, like, who's not going to want to spend time with him? He wants me. I'd rather run to a God that wants me, you know, that is so enamored of me, that is looking down. The Bible says he's like, we're like the apple of his eye. He just loves you. And so rejection, that root will be pulled out so quickly when you understand that he loves you like that. He's passionate for you.
Oh, yes. Wow. And, you know, we want to encourage everyone, you know, that if you're listening, you know, and perhaps you feel unwanted, if you feel, you know, that there's, you know, you're no longer hungering for God, you know, we're here to tell you that, you know, that he hungers for you, that he, more than you want him, he wants you.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I truly encourage every person right now that is hearing, you know, this podcast to go, you know, seek first God, you know, seek him. And also, I would like for you right now to just pray for every person, you know, that perhaps it's hearing us, you know, and they just, you know, they're in a point in their lives where they want to quit because they feel that, you know, that maybe they're full of so many other things, you know, maybe they feel that there's no hope. Maybe they feel that they've strayed from God, you know, maybe they feel that there's no way they're going to get hungry for God, but the devil is a liar.
Yeah,
and right now, I would like you to pray for every person and just speak life to them. Just be you, you know?
I do feel that you need to know something, that he's been pursuing you. And you'll know that if you look back at your life, he's been in pursuit of you. He's been tugging at you. He's been calling you. He's been, maybe perhaps you've had dreams, maybe even at the sound of my voice, that you just like, this is not a coincidence. God is calling me back. Yes, he is. He's calling you back to his arms. He's calling you back to his arms. He's calling you back because he wants you to be affectionate with him again, that you don't have to be afraid of this God. You don't have to be afraid of this Father, that he's not, you know, an earthly human, that he is a Father that relates to you. He's a Father that cares. He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about your situation. He cares about that rejection that you feel right now. Maybe you feel unwanted. You feel abandoned. You feel insecure. You don't know who you are. You lack identity. I want you to know that there's a God God that understands you, and that you don't have to live like that. He's the God that tells you who you are, that you are his daughter and that you are his son, and he wants you. He can't wait to put his arms around you. And so I want to encourage you to just run back into his arms. Just run, put on some worship music and just fall at the feet of Jesus. Picture your father. He's there. He's waiting. He's not angry at you. He wants you. He wants you, the broken you, the fallen out you, the I don't have direction you, the I don't know what to do with my life you, the messed up you. That's who he wants. He wants all of you. He wants to lavish his love, and he wants to pour out his love back upon you. So at the sound of my voice, I pray for every person right now that if you are missing the presence of God, I provoke and I stir that up inside of you, that you will miss it right now. You're missing the presence of God. You're missing him. You want God again. You want him to touch you again. And I just pray right now that the presence of God is touching you again, that you're feeling it in your car, that you're feeling it in your place of business, that wherever you are listening in this podcast, that you're feeling the presence of God again and you're missing him. You remember what it felt like when you gave your life to him. You remember what it felt like when you gave your entire being, when you promised him that you were going to live for him. That you are missing that, whatever you felt, that no human being, no boyfriend, no girlfriend, no marriage, nobody, no spouse has ever been able to make you feel like that. And you're starting to miss it right now. And I just provoke that and I stir that up, that the presence of God is invading you right now, that you're feeling it. And just right where you're at, just cry out to him like you are in your own words and your own sincerity and your genuineness. Just call on to God. Cry out to him. Just say, God, I miss you. Father, I miss you. I'm sorry. And just repent right where you're at. And he wants to take you back. He wants to dine with you. He wants to have, you know, this relationship with you again. He wants to speak your life into you again. So I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that he's going into the areas of even rejection. Some of you have felt rejected. Some of you feel like that you're not loved, that you're not cared for, that you know, that nobody cares about you. That's a lie. God cares. God cares. And if he's the only one that cares at this point and at this season in your life, run back to the one that cares. He does care. He cares about what's happening to you. He cares about the situation that you're going through. He cares about the attack, and he wants to take you out of that. So just right there where you're at, just begin to cry on that and call out to God in your own words, in your own sincerity, and whatever you want to say to him, but just say it and let it flow from your heart. You don't have to pretense. You don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. With him, you can come as you are. You are his son and you are his daughter. And I just pray that the presence of God is going to invade you again, that you're going to be touched again. Right now, the presence of God is invading people. He's healing your wounds. He's healing those dark places, and he's entering into those dark cracks of your life. Those dark foundations, those dark cracks, those hidden and broken pieces, God is putting you together. He's healing you right now. I just declare the healing power of God over your life. Matter of fact, I'm feeling the presence of God very strong as I sense there's healing coming forth. Healing is coming forth. Healing in your body, healing in your heart, healing of the mind. Listen, when you know God loves you, I just declare the love of God is lavished upon you right now. The love is invading you. Love is going in and yanking out that rejection, the self-rejection, the fear of rejection, the what others think of me. Right there, just be who you are. And I just declare that God is ripping out all the rejection, all the loneliness, all the sadness, all the aloneness, all the discouragement, all the loss of hope, that God is coming in and invading you with his presence right now. And that you're feeling the love of God, and that you're running back to the Father in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Wow, that was so beautiful, yeah. So powerful. And we encourage you guys, you know, to go share, you know, with your loved ones, share, you know, on your Facebook, on your Instagram. Give us a comment, you know, let us know how God has been blessing you through these podcasts. So, you know, we love each one of you, you know, and we invite you for next time. Stay tuned. We have a lot of amazing topics we want to share with you all, and see you next time.
Thank you for joining me. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, don't forget to rate us and share with your friends and family. Leave us a comment and let us know what God has been doing in your life.
Connect with me on my Instagram and Facebook, and check us out on our website, www.ignitemovement.org. Links down below. Until next time.